To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mothersbaugh from Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
Kim Namjoon, Kim Seok Jae, Park Jimin, Kim Tae-young, Jung Jungkook, standing BTS.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany. And this is Standing BTS.
And holy shit, so much has happened in the BTS world just within the past week since we last recorded.
Yeah, so much has happened. Come back.
Everything was comeback. So what we're going to do today is we are going to go through and give you guys just a comeback timeline. And what I did is I went into Big Hit's Twitter, I went into BTS's Twitter, I was on YouTube, and I was on V Live, and I kind of lined up everything in chronological order as it happened so that you guys can just kind of organize comeback in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is good also because BTS pretty much keeps a similar schedule and a similar way of doing things every comeback. So when you know what happened completely in this comeback, you'll really know what to look for if you want to go back and learn about the comeback for other eras, or, you know, what to know from here on out.
Oh yeah, what to expect for their comeback for Love Yourself, Wonder,
or Answer, whatever it is.
Or Answer, whichever one comes next. Yeah. We have no idea.
We're not
going to even pretend like we know.
No, we have no idea. So this is just to kind of get everybody caught up on the same page, help you organize your thoughts before we get into Festa, which is just going to be so much.
Yeah, so much.
I feel like we've had so much BTS content coming at us that I really had to sit down and do this research so that even I could get everything straightened out.
Yeah, just organize it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm going to be talking a lot this episode, and
yeah,
Bethany is going to be here to balance out, but this was very research heavy, and I super get into these types of timeline things. So,
yeah. And I was doing my Taekook stuff, so it just kind of worked out.
Yeah. Taekook coming tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So comeback started with the release of the date of the album coming out.
Yeah, so April 16th was actually when they announced the album release date, which is May 18th.
Right. So that was officially the day that comeback was starting. BTS's Twitter theme changed, and RM later tweeted that day saying May is coming with two smiley faces and two pictures attached.
Mm-hmm. So then the next day, on April 17th, Billboard announced via Twitter the nominees for Top Social Artist, which of course included BTS.
Obviously. And then immediately the next day, on April 18th, BTS tweeted that they were honored to be nominated again and to not miss it, quotes, live on NBC.
Oh, and people were freaking out about this. Yeah. What does that mean, live on NBC?
So then, after all the freak out, a few days later, on April 24th, it was announced that BTS would be performing at the BBMAs, which is a huge fucking deal because it's the first K-pop group to make a debut of a new song at an awards ceremony.
Yeah, it's never been done before.
Yeah. So this is an article, an excerpt from an article that Big Hit tweeted that day, and it's from Naver TV. And I'm just going to quote it. It says, "If you list only the names of singers who performed their first performance with a new song at a large awards ceremony, you can guess what this stage means. Justin Timberlake's Mirrors, released on February 2013, debuted at the Brit Awards. Taylor Swift first introduced Shake It Off at the MTV Music Video Awards in 2014, which brought fans from around the world and global attention. The first performance of Ariana Grande's Problem was at the 2014 Radio Music Disney Awards. And the first stage of Adele's Hello, which swept through the year 2015, was the stage for the biggest music award ceremony in France, the NRJ Music Awards." So basically, this excerpt is just saying, look at all of these big names and hugely wildly popular songs. And these were songs that were first performed for the first time at a big, like, Western awards show, basically.
Yeah, so they're basically saying, like, this is a big deal. This is going to be a big song. This is going to be one of BTS's biggest moments in, like, their career.
Yeah. What the article goes on to say is, "What the BBMA's stage proves, the BBMA's new song of the Bulletproof Boys proves one fact. The unfamiliar new song of BTS is hot enough to overwhelm their familiar hits. It is true that the level of interest and enthusiasm for them is so hot that the worldwide popular music awards ceremony will be given to the Bulletproof Boy Scouts at the stage as a surprise event. And this type of stage is only allowed for the best pop star."
Goodness. It's making me excited all over again.
I know, it already happened.
Like, I'm excited for it, but it happened
because
already.
Because it's such, I feel like we need to give it this moment to really talk about how much of a big deal it was. The article goes on to say, "In addition, it can be explained that BTS are convinced of the worldwide success of the new song in the pop market, such as Billboard." So BTS was about to debut this new song, and they knew that it was, you know, going to be this big hit.
Oh, absolutely.
No pun intended.
Big hit. That is amazing. Like, I just love that because it really just sums up, like, how big of a deal this is. Like, not only is it just, like, the first K-pop group that's ever had a comeback and perform their first performance for their new hit in America, but also it's just, like, this stage is so much more than that. Like, this is going to be more successful than previous BTS songs and previous BTS albums. Like, it's just really building the hype of it.
And this was still, I mean, like I said, this was still all the way back on April 24th. So almost a full month away from the BBMA's performance on May 20th. So the anticipation was already so huge.
Yeah, yeah.
So a few days after this article on April 26th, the world tour dates were announced.
Yes, that was a big deal. That was
a big deal. Big day.
Yes. So then on May 3rd, the notes were released on Big Hit's Twitter. So these, like, notes that keep reoccurring, that just keep adding to all the insane theories going on. So here's a translation of Jungkook's note. So it says, May 22nd, year 22. And the translation is, "I thought my body was floating, but all of a sudden it was the hard floor. I couldn't feel anything for a while. My body was so unbearably heavy that I couldn't even lift my eyelids. I couldn't swallow or breathe as I lost consciousness. My surroundings gradually faded away. Then, as if startled by something, my body shook violently. Amidst unlocated pain and thirst, I unknowingly opened my eyes. There was a glimmer beyond my field of vision, which felt coarse, or if it was full of sand. Mm. I thought it was a light, but it wasn't. It was bright, large, and blurry. It couldn't move and was suspended in the air as I looked at it for a long time. I slowly took on a definite shape. It was the moon. The world was upside down, as if I had tilted my head back. The moon of that world was hung upside down as well. I tried to cough in order to breathe, but I couldn't move. Then the cold air came. I was scared. I moved my lips, but no words came out. I didn't close my eyes, but it slowly became darker. Within my receding awareness, someone spoke to me. Even though living must be more painful than death, do you still want to live?
Love yourself here.
Goodness.
Yeah. So that was like this really deep shit that is leading into this love yourself tear era. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
So then, of course, a beautiful day. A beautiful day.
A wonderful day.
A wonderful day. May 6th, Singularity was released on YouTube and on VLive.
I'll never forget coming home from that canoeing trip, ever.
And just listening to Singularity the entire drive home.
The entire hours. Drive home. Mm-hmm. So then on May 8th, mm-hmm. tier concept photos for the version O were tweeted by Big Hit.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the black and white photos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, so good. And like V has that leopard print on and just, and like he also has that fringe. Yes.
Yes. Later that
they
day.
They all look amazing.
Yeah, they do. Later that day, Big Hit also tweeted the concept photos for R. And these are the denim ones. And
I had
that picture of Jimin just by himself where his like hip bone is showing and in the denim as the background on my phone for a while. Now it is Taehyung and Namin after some, I think maybe after the BBMAs, but being so cute. So anyways, so that those two concepts, O and R, were tweeted on the 8th. And then on May 10th, Big Hit tweeted the concept photos for version Y and version U. And the Y ones are the desert ones. Oh my God. Just everything about those are so beautiful.
Oh my gosh. J-Hope in the desert ones.
Oh my God. No, Jimin in the desert ones.
Jimin looks really good too. They all look amazing.
Yeah.
They all look so good.
Honestly, I was thinking about this era today because I was doing research for this episode. And I was like, in the past, we've been able to be like, oh, Dark and Wild, that's so Jimin's era. Oh, Boy in Love, that's Taehyung's fucking era. But I feel like this era is all of theirs eras. Like,
they're all so good during this. It's
amazing.
Really hard to think that one has superior over this era. Like,
no, yeah,
they're
none
all
of them
shining
do.
Just as brightly as the other.
Yeah. So between May 10th and May 12th, BTS from the BTS Twitter account, a bunch of them tweeted selfies from the sets of the concept photos.
Mm-hmm. And then on May 13th, Big Hit tweeted the Love Yourself tier track list. So we got to look and see what the titles of the songs were for the upcoming album.
Oh, yeah. The anticipation was really building at that time because we were only 5 days away. And we finally, like, it was confirmed that Fake Love was the name of the hit track. Like, you know, had Twitter Army had been saying.
Yeah, I remember the rumor saying, like, oh, Fake Love is their hit track. And I'm just like, where are people finding this? How do I not know where they're getting it from? And then they released the tier track list, and it was like, all right, Fake Love,
right
there it is.
Right.
So then on May 14th,
on my birthday,
yes, on your birthday, the Fake Love official teaser one was released.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the episode where I could not help but to talk about it.
Yeah,
because this teaser is insanely good.
Yeah.
So we found out in an article from Naver. Is it Naver?
I don't know. I say Naver because I'm a Midwestern bitch. Yeah.
Naver. I like Naver.
Yeah,
it
me
probably
too.
Is. Who knows?
Who knows?
But anyways,
not me.
From there, We found out that the background music during the trailer was Waltz of the Farewell mm-hmm. by Chopin.
Mm-hmm. And I love this because I just wanted to Google who Chopin was. So Frédéric François Chopin was a Polish composer and a virtuoso pianist of the Romantic era who wrote primarily for solo piano. And people would go fucking insane for his concerts and for, like, to go to his, like, solo performances. Hmm. And I just think I love that BTS and Big Hit used, like, his music as the background for the trailer because the name of the song, Waltz of the Farewell, I feel like really feeds into the feeling and the vibe that the trailer was supposed to have. But also, I just think we stan intellectuals.
Oh, absolutely. Like, we stan intellectuals. BTS.
Men. Yeah.
So BTS arrived in LA on this day, and I love this because this is where Taecook had some amazing airport photos.
Oh my God, yes.
So I'll never forget it.
No. Okay, so then 2 days later, so we have basically 2 days of silence from BTS and Big Hit. Fake Love, official teaser 2, was released on May 16th. And then, of course, on the 18th, the long-awaited day, finally, the album dropped and the Fake Love official music video was released.
Ah, yes. One of their best albums, for sure.
Seriously, their best album.
Yeah, really.
So then on May 19th on V Live, BTS posted a comeback preview show in which all of the BTS members sat around just kind of talking about the album and the photo shoots and answering questions / kind of giving their thoughts. And mm-hmm, they recorded this like in LA where they were staying.
Yeah. And actually, I have not watched this. Like, I don't know why I haven't watched it. I really need to.
Yeah.
It's on V Live.
It's really good. So. It's not super necessary for you to like watch it to know what's going on, but it is kind of cool to get a little bit of background feelings from the members. But obviously, because it's a V Live, I feel like some of it might be kind of like scripted anyways.
Okay, yeah.
But it's good to watch and to kind of get that background info.
Yeah. I'll probably watch it. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, you're busy.
But anyways, so those 5 days between the 14th and the 19th, BTS did a ton of press mm-hmm. and a ton of interviews.
Yes.
So all of our YouTube pages were full of series of short and interactive interviews.
Yeah. Overall, I feel like most of the questions in the interviews were pretty good. Mm-hmm. I feel like we had this time around with them in the States, we had more journalists and interviewers who were asking real questions instead of like dumbass questions like,
absolutely.
Who's your girlfriend? Does ARMY ever hurt you? Which is basically what Ellen did this time. It was so annoying.
It was annoying. So I feel like America had to redeem themselves. I think a lot of the people who interviewed BTS heard a lot from ARMY during the AMAs. Yeah. They were like, how could you ask such
stupid, tasteless questions?
And yeah.
Treating
and
them so like some sort of sideshow act instead of like real artists because they're not from the West. Yes. You know,
so I definitely think that they were aware of that and all of them were like, okay, these guys are really good artists and they really deserve some good questions and we need to get our shit together. And so I do think that this time around, the questions were a lot better, except for the Ellen, like they were barely even on Ellen. It was the last, what, maybe even 10 minutes, not even.
Yeah, their actual interview with her was like 3.5 minutes long, and they did perform 2 songs on Ellen, but she seemed kind of patronizing this time, whereas the last time that she interviewed them, it was amazing. Like, we were like, yes, Ellen, you did such a good job, but this time, she pretty much asked the same questions and in, like, a shortened version. Like, it wasn't the same type of feeling. So I don't know if they just had a really busy filming schedule and they were just like, let's fit you in. Mm-hmm. Obviously, any exposure on TV is a huge deal. And like, we're super grateful that like they were able to be on Ellen, because who watches Ellen? Like, people who are staying at home in the middle of the day who can watch it. So like, getting the people who watch Ellen knowing about BTS is pretty cool. but I just was not a fan of her questions this time.
No, I wasn't either. But I do think that Ellen is kind of one of the more anticipated interviews. Mm-hmm. So for it to have not gone very well and for it to be so short and just like the questions were the same and very familiar to what the last one was, it was disappointing.
Yeah, just disappointing. Not bad, not terrible, nothing offensive, but definitely disappointing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So let's go ahead and go on to May 20th, the Billboard Music Awards. So BTS arrived in the early evening to the red carpet. They mm-hmm. posed for the cameras. They did some red carpet interviews, and they took pictures with other celebrities.
Of course.
And so on this night, and I will never forget this, I was actually driving back from Kansas City because we had just recorded our tier episode, our tier review episode. Yeah. And so I was driving back to St. Louis, and I remember thinking that it started at like 8 o'clock or something, but mm-hmm. I guess it started at 7.
Yeah.
And so I was like getting text messages while I was driving, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm like missing it. Like, it hasn't been on very long. So I was super anxious and like flustered. And so when I got home to watch the Billboard Music Awards, just like seeing them sitting in like the front row and just being shown briefly on screen, like my heart rate, I swear, was like 150. My body was like shaking. I was so excited, and I couldn't really understand why I felt this way. But it's like, this was such a pivotal moment for BTS. And I think like my subconscious knew that. And that's why I was so like hyped up and shaking and
it was a big fucking moment. I mean,
moment.
These awards shows are very political. It takes a really good publicist to get you sitting somewhere in the front so the camera can see you and so that you can interact with all the people who are winning, because that's really what I saw the whole time I was watching. BTS was sitting right in the front. The camera, you know, anytime the camera was on them, the whole fucking room would just light up with screams and of like excitement and anticipation. Mm-hmm. All of these Western celebrities could not take their eyes off of BTS. It was so funny seeing this entire section of people sitting like on like stage left with their heads just turned to the right, and their necks are craning trying to look over the people in front of them to see who all this hype is about. Like, I mean, these big names.
If you didn't know who BTS was, they definitely know who BTS is now.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course, that night, they won Top Social Artist with a voting percentage of, like, 94%.
Like, a ridiculous amount.
I think that, like, other people in the category had, like, 3% and 1% of votes.
Yeah. Go ARMY.
Yeah, go ARMY. I mean, Twitter... ARMY runs Twitter. Like...
Oh, absolutely.
we make stuff trend worldwide daily, and it's like not even a thing.
It's not even like a big deal. Like, we're just making shit trend. Yeah. Like Bonton with beards. Like,
oh my God.
I don't even know if that trended, but it probably did somewhere.
Anyways. They performed Fake Love for the first time. They were the second to last performance. They came after fucking Janet Jackson, which I think is a huge deal, because in an awards ceremony, to come after somebody like that means like that's more like they were more anticipated than the fucking icon that is Janet Jackson.
Uh-huh,
and I just think that speaks volumes, and her performance was amazing. I was blown away.
Yeah,
but
it was really great.
Of course, everybody in there, the energy was just filling the room because people could not wait for BTS.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was anticipated the whole night. Like, ARMY was very prevalent. We were loud. We were representing our boys.
Obnoxiously.
Obnoxiously.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm sure it was very difficult for the producers of the show. But I just remember I pretty much rewatched that performance 3 times in a row, and then I didn't even finish the BBMAs after that. Like, I didn't watch Salt and Peppa. I just like kept going back and rewatching.
Rewinding.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. the performance just blew me away, and just being able to see a lot of people had a lot of feelings about how much they showed ARMY during, like, in the fans during the performance instead of showing BTS on stage, because, like, during other performances, the camera was glued to the stage, like during Ariana Grande, during Janet Jackson, during Shawn Mendes, like, no crowd showing at all. But then during BTS, they showed the crowd a lot, and everybody was like, we just want to see the fucking choreography.
Yeah.
But BTS wanted it that way. You know, like, they were really happy that people were being, that, like, their fans were being shown, because it kind of shows everybody watching in America that BTS is a big deal. Like,
yeah,
people are affected by them and do react this way to them. And it is kind of this, like, Beatles mania type thing.
Oh, absolutely. That
is super impactful and is very cross-cultural and a global impact. So that didn't really bother me during the performance, especially because I knew that we would get dance practices and all of that.
My favorite part while watching this, because I, of course, was all about what is the full choreography. Like, that, I think, was what a lot of ARMYs were thinking. We mm-hmm. just want to see the full choreography. And then also, I think a lot of people were waiting to see Jungkook's abs, yes. like, on stage, which that boy flexed.
Holy shit. I mean, he brought his shirt all the way up.
Like, nipple slip.
We saw his nipple.
Absolutely. He lifted that shirt, and he really, really, like, flexed his abs.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, the part that I really liked was where they all line up, and Yoongi is rapping. And as Yoongi's walking, they, like, all kind of hit each other. They're, like, fighting each other, kind of. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, dodging each other's arms and whatnot. And it just, that part is what stuck out to me the most. Like, I immediately, when I rewound it, that was the part I went to. And I remember texting you, like, did you see them all fight each other? Like, did you see that part? Like, I was so blown away by it.
I didn't notice that, because what I noticed about that part was Yoongi starting to rap, and immediately everyone in the freaking auditorium screaming. Like, you could barely hear him at all, because ARMY oh. was going insane for his verse. Like,
oh yeah,
so much love for Yoongi. So deserving mm-hmm. of that. He is brilliant. So that's what I yeah. noticed, was, like, the screams just drowning out everything, like, almost even the music.
Oh no, I see. I really saw Namjoon just grab Jungkook's shirt. I was like, what is happening? yeah, but it was such a phenomenal performance, and, like, honestly, their live vocals, oh my goodness.
Amazing.
I was blown away.
Yeah.
I was blown away by every single one of them. Like, RM was so strong
mm-hmm.
and Jin, like, really Jin, for, like, having as much of a dance part as he has, and for having such big lines and fake love, like, really just a phenomenal job. They all seemed to me, like, at the very beginning where Taeyong starts, I saw, like, the fan cams of it. Taeyong looks so nervous.
Yeah.
And I just think that they were all really, really nervous for this. Because, I mean, they had ARMY cheering them on the whole night. And this is the first time that, like, they're having a comeback in America. And everyone is like, who are they? Can you imagine how nerve-wracking that was?
Yeah, super scary. But they did a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
So incredible. Blew us away. And then, of course, to celebrate, what did they do?
They went straight home, back to their hotel, and they started a V-Live.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Our humble boys coming back to ARMY, knowing that it's BTS and ARMY together supporting each other that makes all of this happen. Mm-hmm. So they did their V-Live, which is actually when Taeyong mentioned that he thought it was really cool how much they showed the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got to kind of hang out with them while they celebrated with champagne.
Also, there was a V-mon moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had recorded our V-mon episode prior to this, but RM was actually holding the camera, and V took it from him and was like, sit down.
Yeah. With that, I mean, V just noticed that RM had been holding the camera for a while. And uh-huh. so he was like, let me take on this responsibility. You go sit down and relax. And they just, he just kind of did it without really saying anything, doing anything. Yeah. But it was just kind of one of those like easy interactions for them.
Mm-hmm. Love them.
Okay. So also on May 20th, Bangtan TV on YouTube posted the behind the scene video for their photo shoot. And then 4 days later on May 24th, Big Hit tweeted that the Mnet comeback show was going to be at 8:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. So that day. And according to an article from Naver, during the first week of the album being released, so between May 18th to May 24th, all that time they were like in the States. They were just getting back to Korea after the BBMAs. In that whole first week, BTS sold 1,003,524 units of Love Yourself Tier.
Phew, goodness.
That does not even include the pre-sales, which exceeded 1.5 million prior to release on May 18th.
Oh my God, pre-sale? 1.5 million.
Yeah. So already within the first week of Love Yourself Tier being released, over 3 million copies, downloads, whatever of the album had been bought.
That's insane.
Yeah. It ranked number one on iTunes charts in 65 countries. And within that first week, it reached a global top 200 chart on Spotify.
Wow. That's insane.
Fucking insane. I mean, you cannot deny how huge they are. Like, to be number one on iTunes in 65 countries, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to, like, wrap it around my head. Like, it's just so much. It's hard so to take surreal. It in. It's
mm-hmm. I mean, that's Adele numbers. That's Beyonce numbers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, these huge global stars that have been around forever. Like, mm-hmm. That's the numbers that they're making. Yeah. So, that's just... I mean, insane.
So the BTS comeback show on Mnet was on May 24th. Mm-hmm. And so they did a 4-minute long V Live, like a pre-comeback show, which mm-hmm. they've done before.
Yeah.
But then they performed and posted videos for Airplane Part 2, Fake Love, and Anpan Man. And that can be found on Bangtan TV if you specifically search for it, but you can also find it on Mnet's YouTube page.
Yeah. For some reason, if you're on Bangtan TV and you're like scrolling through recent videos, you can't find it. But if you just search on that page, it will come up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about these comeback performances kind of all together, but really BTS has like a million comeback performances.
Like a ton. So like they might even have so more many. After we record this.
That we don't even, yeah. So basically that the Mnet was the official comeback show. And then BTS took part in a bunch of TV shows in like the couple weeks after that. And their performances during this time on the TV shows are known as comeback stages because it's their first time performing these new songs in this setting.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to run through a list of these shows because it's a lot and it seems like they're still kind of going on.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is also if you are on Twitter or something and you see trending like hashtag fake love, first win or fucking sixth win or whatever, this is where they come from. So the first like comeback TV show that they took part in is from the KBS station, and they have a show called Music Bank. So on May 25th, BTS was on this show, and Fake Love was up against GFRIEND's Time for the Moon Night. And of course, BTS's first, they won the show. They got like a little trophy there. I don't really know how these shows work, like if they're fan voted or like audience voted or whatever.
Yeah.
But they had their first win with Fake Love right then.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day on May 25th, they were on
the same day, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Same day. Same day, May 25th. They were also on an NBC show. This just, I mean, these shows must be recorded and they're airing on these days.
Mm-hmm.
The show is called Music Core. BTS again won first place on the show with Fake Love against other K-pop idols, and they earned another trophy for that. So this is Fake Love's second win. For this one, I think kind of the finalists were GFRIEND, TWICE, and BTS.
Yeah.
So then the following day on May 26th, Bangtan TV uploads their recording camera angle of the BBMAs. So that's when everybody gets to finally see like the full Fake Love choreography for the first time without seeing any of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Unless you searched for the fan cams.
Which we all did.
We all did. We needed it.
Yeah.
We needed that close-up of Jungkook's abs. Like Jungkook's right abs, there.
For sure.
Zoom in.
We needed the J-Hope Jungkook like pointing finger moment also.
Oh, absolutely. We needed the whole thing. Let's be real.
So on the 27th, BTS was on an SBS show called Inkigayo. And again, they won with Fake Love, making it Fake Love's third win. On May 30th, BTS was on another NBC show called Show Champion. And this is where BTS won their fourth trophy. This is Fake Love's fourth win. And guys, they weren't even able to attend this show. In the Soompi article that I read about it, it says, BTS was unable to attend to accept this award, so they sent a video message. Like, they weren't even here. They weren't even there to compete on the show against the other people who were competing for this award, wow. And they still won.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's just like, I almost feel like all these awards are kind of meaningless because it's literally just like, they win 8 times on these awards. On these like different TV shows. And so then they're on May 31st, they're on M Showdown and it's Fake Love's fifth win. And this is the comeback stage where Jimin is wearing that like half bondage, half suit jacket thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. Like, fuck.
When I saw that, like, I was like, what is he wearing?
What is it? And Jungkook has like, it looks like a normal suit jacket in the front, but the whole back is gone and it's just like bondage straps.
Oh, yeah. Like, all bondage.
All of them are wearing like leather bondage something in some way. It's an amazing stage.
Oh, goodness.
And then on June 1st, it's Fake Love's sixth win on another TV show. They're back on KBS Music Bank. Again, I don't know why they're on the same show like a few days later, but they were again and they won with Fake Love again. And then on June 1st, I don't think any of us were expecting this.
No, none of us were expecting this. This was insane. And I just got mad. Like, I just got mad again because there's these theories, these damn theories, like, stop it.
So on June 1st, Big Hit released on YouTube and on V Live a Fake Love extended version music video, which also the song in it is a rock cover.
It's a rock
song.
Cover. Like,
it's
what?
Fucking amazing.
It's amazing. It really is. But man, you just weren't expecting it.
No. And there's like a ton of little clips.
Yeah, there's tons of little clips. You just get a better, well, I wouldn't say a better idea of the story. We're still kind of clueless. But like all those theories that were made about the Fake Love extended, I mean, like Fake Love, the music video, just kind of like just out the window. Because now they release this extended version. You're like, oh, but this is happening and that's happening. And then the ending and just,
yeah,
stresses me out. I don't know what's happening. No one knows.
It gives us a little bit more.
It does.
Yeah. We'll definitely have to get into it in the episode where we talk about the music videos.
It's too much.
So then
it's
we're
over my
still
head.
it's so much. So we're still in the part of the timeline with all of these comeback stages. Like June's, we're almost done though, I think. I mean, there might be more.
Yeah.
There might be more released, but so on June 2nd, Fake Love earned its 7th and 8th win. Its 7th win on NBC's Music Core show again, and its 8th win on SBS's Inkigayo show again.
Again.
And I should just say that all of these different shows seem to have like the same groups performing at the same time, like all going up against each other. So there was like BTS, Team Top, Winner, Lovelies, Victon, The East Light, Dreamcatcher, Khan, Shiny, AOA, Pristin V, and like a ton more other artists like not listed in every article. They would just say there's these people and then some other artists. So I don't have a way of finding out everybody that was on those shows, but basically against all these other K-pop groups, BTS was winning with Fake Love.
Yeah.
8 fucking times in 1 week.
I mean, I wonder how this makes the other K-pop groups feel. Like, I almost
I know.
Feel kind of bad because it's like you're going up against BTS. Like, it's not fair. It's BTS. You know what I'm saying? Like, isn't that terrible? Like, all these groups are really talented and really great. Like, I like listening to K-pop and I watch other K-pop videos and, like, I mean, come on, like, SHINee and, you know.
The fact that, I mean, SHINee, they're just legends. Uh-huh. So for, you know, for BTS and SHINee to be going up against each other in, like, a TV show like this, what my feeling was after researching, like, where these hashtags on Twitter came from, like, fake love, fifth win, and all that shit, was that I don't feel like these TV shows mean that much. The most that they mean is that we get different videos of them performing fake love, Anpan Man, and Airplane Part 2. Mm-hmm. With different outfits on, you know, like, but like, as far as these awards go, I feel like they don't really mean that much. They get like this little trophy, but it's not, you know, them charting, you know, which they did.
They did. This is big news. Big news.
This is a huge deal.
Big deal.
The biggest. So on June 2nd, this was like the first time that Love Yourself Tear could be on a Billboard chart, because it was like the first full week that they would be, you know, collecting data on this album. So for the first time that it could chart, BTS's Love Yourself Tear charted number one on Billboard Hot 200 albums.
Number one album in the world.
In the world.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
This is not just in the United States. This is in the world.
This is big fucking news. Like, this is just, it's like blowing my mind. Like, my heart is racing right now just thinking about it. Like, I've heard this so many times, but like, if you just try to put that in perspective, like, that's a big freaking deal. Like, they're
it's
not
a
like
huge fucking
they're
deal.
Not like number 10 or even number three. They're number one
in the world.
Their whole album.
The way that Billboard compiles this data is they take number of actual physical copy purchases, they take like what is it called? Like digital purchases, digital streams, digital downloads, all of these different things where people are somehow consuming this album. And they're not talking about specific songs. They're talking about the album.
Yeah, the album.
Yeah, that's what Billboard compiles. And so for them to debut on the Billboard Hot 200 at number one, it was such a big deal that it warranted a speech from the president of South Korea.
I'm like, what?
I was at home in St. Louis when this happened, and I was like talking to my mom. I was like, Mom, the president of South Korea tweeted a speech and a statement about BTS. Do you understand how big of a deal this is?
That's a huge deal.
A huge deal. So I'm just going to read. This is from his personal Twitter account. He tweeted out like an English translation of his tweet. And he said, congratulations to the seven music-loving boys and their Wings Army. The songs, dance, dreams, and enthusiasm of BTS energized and gave strength to young people around the world. I congratulate BTS on topping the Billboard 200 with their album titled Love Yourself Tear. This is the first ever Korean album to claim the top spot, and also the first non-English album to do so in 12 years. At the very heart of BTS's outstanding dancing and singing is sincerity. This magical power turns grief into hope and differences into similarity. Each of the seven members sings in a way that is true to himself and the life he wants to live. Their melody and lyrics transcend regional borders, language, culture, and institutions. Bangtan, which literally means bulletproof in Korean, was born out of the will to protect teenagers from prejudice and oppression. The names of each member, Jin, Suga, J-Hope, RM, Jimin, V, and Jungkook, are going to be remembered for a long time. Thank you to BTS for spreading joy across Korea and the world with your great performances.
Wow.
It's been a couple days since I've read through that. And I am still, I just am blown away, like, that is, I mean, what an incredible honor and recognition to receive, and on such a large scale. And just the meaning of this, that the president of their country tweeted about them and was giving them this recognition, and also understands what they're doing and why they're so important to so many people around the world, when he literally said that their magical power turns grief into hope and similarity, or and differences into similarities. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's okay. I hate that I'm going to relate it to the Beatles, but I am, because there's a similar scenario with the Beatles. They got acknowledged by the Queen of England. Like, they visited Buckingham Palace to receive this really prestigious medal. Mm-hmm. It's called the MBE medal. And I remember watching this in all these documentaries, but it was like right after they released their Sgt. Pepper's album, which ended up being one of their really like revolutionary albums really across the world. Like, it was just like, what? This is totally different. It was just very a very pivotal point in terms of like music and like rock and that kind of going that route. Like, they went from this like really boy bandy like love me do to just Sgt. Pepper's and just mm-hmm. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so like they got, I mean, this huge British honor from the Queen at Buckingham Palace. Like, the British Empire basically acknowledged the Beatles mm-hmm. as this like remarkable point in history for England. And here is the president of South Korea like acknowledging BTS
as this remarkable thing that they are representing for Korea.
Yeah.
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 Just, I mean, a huge honor.
I just see the parallels. I just see the Me parallels too. So much. Like, I think I'm probably going to get a lot of hate from people saying, like, BTS is not the Beatles, including BTS themselves. Like, they're like, we're not the Beatles. But it's like the way that they're impacting the world is in a very similar way.
No, I completely agree with you. I think BTS is so humble that they would never say that they were like the Beatles.
Yeah.
But I just think in the way that they're impacting the music industry, the culture of the music industry, and the world in general, and young people all over the world, and like not even just through their message and through their music, but also through their UNICEF campaign and everything else that they do to try to improve the lives of young people all over the world. Yes, they are so impactful. And yes, I think that they will leave a legacy similar to that of the Beatles in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just had to bring that up because it's just that's immediately what I think of.
Yeah. I mean, I never knew that. I think that's so, so cool.
Yeah. I mean, and then Paul McCartney ended up getting knighted by the Queen. I mean, just like, I don't know. Very similar kind of yeah. things. Anyways.
That kind of recognition.
Yeah.
So we are going to now, that was basically all of the comeback performances that have happened up into this point to my knowledge. And we're just going to tell you guys our favorite video for each of those performances. So our favorite video from the comeback stages for Fake Love, for Airplane Part 2, and for Empire Man. And we have like a whole ton of fangirly notes and shit to say about it.
So many fangirl notes. So many.
We're just going to pick a few favorite like punctual moments that really is why the specific comeback stage is our favorite for this video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Airplane Part 2. Mm-hmm. So our favorite performance is actually the NBC performance.
Yeah, which I guess is Music Bank, but we're talking about the first one.
Yeah, the very first one.
Because they were on it twice. Yeah.
So there's many reasons why this is our favorite, but one of the things that I love about it to start is that it starts off with a gold mic. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a silver mic. It's not like a typical mic. Like, it's freaking gold. Like, this is going to be really good.
Yeah.
But also another reason why this is one of my favorites, and it's just because of my bias, I can't help it, but Taeyong is wearing a fucking tie around his head. Like, anytime, we all know, anytime Taeyang is wearing a bandana, a headband, a tie, if it's just around his head, there's something about it that just makes me swoon.
We've been blessed.
Yeah, and he's got like a leather jacket on and a necklace and just, mm-hmm. Just his shirt kind of looks like it's a little low. Like, yes.
Yeah. What I love Jimin. Okay, so like Jungkook starts the song and he's wearing like this oversized robe shirt thing. It's called a duster. So it's kind of like a really big cardigan, except for it doesn't have buttons. It's not sweatery. It's like a loose kind of linen material. But he looks so daddy and he sits down in a chair. So hello, chair choreography. That's
yes,
what I love.
We've been missing it. Also, Jungkook looks so damn cocky and I love it. I don't know why.
And thick.
Like, he looks so full of himself, but it's like,
yeah,
you're hot. So.
And then Jimin fucking body rolls into center stage to, you know, take over. And I love, this is why I love this performance, because I love his outfit. He's wearing this like champagne shirt and just kill me. He's so fucking cute.
Oh, yeah. He looks so, so good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, V comes in with that headband. Ugh, just like, the tie. Like, stop it. He just looks so good. And then Jin.
So good.
And then Jin is wearing this like Wild West vest.
Amazing.
Yes. And he is sharing that microphone with Namjoon. So I'm sure all of our Namjoon fans are freaking out over this performance.
Serious Namjoon. Well, it was so cute with them, like, hit Namjoon just kind of rocking the microphone back and forth so Jin could get in front of it, or like Jin leaning into it so they're like, their shoulders are touching.
Uh-huh.
Just very cute.
Yes.
Very cute. Oh, also, this performance is amazing because I think it's the only Airplane Part 2 performance that zooms in right on RM's eye as a fucking transition.
It's so funny. It's so funny how it zooms in on his eye. Like, why?
Well, because, you know, he has, like, the first rap verse. So it zooms in on his eye at the end of his verse and then pans out to like the stage of them dancing the choreography for the chorus,
which I love this stage because it's just these huge letters that say BTS above the stage, and I just love it. It's so classic.
Also in this one, Yoongi is wearing a hat, and I don't know why, it's like this big ass hat and it is so fucking cute.
Oh, it's so, so cute. Like, he looks so good. Yoongi in this era is killing me. Ugh. Like, Yoongi's been bias wrecking me. Like, he needs to stop it. I don't know where it's coming from.
He'll never stop.
I don't know. But I love how when we were watching all of these videos, we're just like, what even is a bias? Like, what is a bias? Why do we even have one? Like, they're all...
We're constantly, perpetually being bias wrecked. So, do we even... I mean, we do have biases. It's very...
But
really,
what is a bias?
Sometimes... Yeah. So, like, during J-Hope's verse, there's, like, a total, like, Yoonmin moment. Like, I don't know. Jimin is fucking sliding backwards on the stage, and Yoongi is glaring at us, and I'm just mad about it.
Yeah. I also love J-Hope's outfit. And, like, J-Hope's part in this song, like, of course, it's from Airplane Part 1, but during this part, like, he's got Jungkook and Taeyang behind him, and they are doing some intense choreography. Like, it's super, super cool. And also, J-Hope has this like little headband across his forehead, like very
boho. Oh my god,
boho.
I love it. Yes.
Yeah, so cute. He looks so good.
Yeah.
Damn it.
They're like name brand boho. That's their style in this. Like linen pants, loose, like I'm on a beach kind of clothing, like I'm in the tropics, so I'm comfortable with my loose fitting clothing, but also they're like really fucking stylish.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So then once they go back into the main choreography, we get some serious Taekook feels. They low-five each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the audience just flips out.
Of course.
Yes. Yes.
The other thing that I just want to mention about the Airplane Part 2 choreography before we move on is the fucking dance from the Golden Closet film.
Everything means something. Like anything.
Everything means something.
Anything they do in any tweet, in any V Live, like it means something. It's gonna reappear.
So yeah, I'm talking about in the Golden Closet film when Jimin starts, you know, just he has his hands up by his chest and he's just kind of moving his elbows and his shoulders. And we mentioned that one and we were like, it's so crazy how quickly Taeyong
picks up on it.
Oh, well, fucking duh, because it's their choreography for their next era.
They've like, done it before. I'm They've so done upset. It hundreds of times. Like, goodness. Yes.
So, anyways, we love that performance, the MBC, the first performance for Airplane Part 2.
Oh, I got to say one last thing. I love, 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 love. My favorite dance move of the whole thing is actually at the end where they're bent over and their arms are out in front and they're like leaning side to side and they're like flicking their wrist. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Like it looks so, so good.
Yeah.
And you said it gives you some like fire vibes.
Oh my God. It totally does. Yeah. Because it's just like, it's like fire without the feet and without moving really fast.
Oh, I just
like
love
it's
it,
like
though.
Chill. I love it too.
Yes.
Okay, so for Ampan Man, our favorite performance is the first one, the Mnet performance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I feel the Mnet, if you're gonna only watch one comeback stage, watch the first official Mnet ones.
Yeah,
they are
this
so,
was
so,
their
so good.
First comeback stage. This was their first time really performing Airplane Part 2 and Ampan Man. Mm-hmm. And so this performance, oh my gosh, it is everything and more from what I expected it to be. It's such a fun song. So at the very beginning, I love what V is wearing. V's got like that blue with like neon green lettering on his hoodie. And he's got like this leather backwards, like, is it a beret? Like, I think it might be a beret.
Man, I thought it was just like a backwards hat. It's
I think
just
it
so
might
tight
be a
on his head.
Is it, I don't know. Maybe it's just super tired of that, but he is so cute. Like he was ready to perform this.
Yeah.
And what's even cuter is that I didn't find this out until later on that Jungkook is actually behind him, like shaking his hoodie to make it look like wind.
Yeah, I thought
like
it was
wind.
A fan.
Yeah, I thought they like put these fans inside his hoodie to make it like shake, but it's actually Jungkook shaking his hoodie so it looks like the wind is going through it.
Yeah. Oh my God. We have in our notes that Taeyong, he's doing a Superman pose in a pleather beret.
Oh,
so
it's a pleather beret,
a pleather. It's a, like a black pleather beret. It's amazing.
Yes. He's so cute and so adorable. Like,
So is Jimin. Jimin is so fucking cute and enticing and melts my heart every time. And
anytime the camera focuses on Jimin, he looks so damn cute. Like, he looks like his cheeks
like,
look
stop.
Extra squishy.
So cute.
He's so smiley too. Like,
his face just lights up. He's just like, oh, me? You're looking at me? Like, oh, stop being so cute.
He's so damn cute.
But like at the same time, Taeyong is looking like a little puppy, just like so fucking lovable and dorky and cute. Like, I mean, we talked about when we heard this song that you were like, Taeyong is going to have such a fun time performing this song.
Yeah. And they
and
all
I feel
do.
Like they all did.
But like the goofy songs, like Taeyong just lives it up. Mm-hmm. And he starts it off. So he's like, waiting for you, Ampan.
Oh, I love
so
it.
So great. So great. Okay. Also, we need to talk about J-Hope's outfit in this. Like, I don't have it in the notes, but J-Hope's outfit is so great. Like, he's got
fucking overalls.
Like, the overalls, and then he's got like a camo orange shirt on underneath, but he's also got a headband, and his hair is super curly. Like, he is so hyped throughout this whole song. Like, J-Hope is the energy on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all having a good time, but J-Hope is like bouncing all over the place.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, I think J-Hope is the ultimate hype man, and he just brings such an energy to this song.
He does, yeah.
And then
I just read the next note. Literally, when Kayla and I watched this together, I was like, okay, but who just slid across the floor? Like, someone just, like, slid across the floor, and I was like, was that Jimin?
And of course it was fucking Jimin.
Like,
he just
slides across the floor. Like, oh, my goodness. Ugh.
Of course you did. I just want to say that Park Jimin is a Busan prince, and he keeps flashing his cute smile and his little surprised-looking face the entire time. Like I said, it's just so fucking cute. Mm-hmm. Also, this is the performance where Yoongi is wearing that silver bomber jacket.
Oh my gosh.
Holy shit.
Threw me off with this. Like, you can hear his, like, pure track come through because his actual track is, like, really auto-tuned.
Auto-tuned.
So you can really hear Yoongi and, like, damn. His voice is so deep. Yes. Like, holy crap.
Yes. And also, I just want to mention his choreography when he is rapping.
It's so cute.
Okay, so, like, he's in the front and all the other members are in, like, a semicircle behind him. And as he's rapping, he just kind of turns around and, like, punches his little fists out at all of them as he's turning around. It's so fucking cute.
It's so cute. And then he runs over to Jin. And then it's, like, as he pushes past Jin, it's, like, Jin, like, spins out of control, and then Jin does the waiting for you. And Jin looks so fine. Oh my god. So Jin's got like those orange pants on and a black shirt, and then he's got a headband in his hair. These boys need to stop wearing headbands, okay?
It's a yes for me.
It's a total yes for me.
Also, like, in this video, we get a lot of glaring and pouting Yoongi.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he'll just glare at you out of nowhere, and you're like, what the fuck was that? Why are you doing this? Yeah. Stop. Also, I would just want to say that live, Jimin's little keep ballin' still Bangtan. Like, it's cute. It's so fucking cute.
It's like Bangtan. It's so high-pitched. And Jungkook's is a little high-pitched. And I love how Taeyang also sings that part. And he's like, Bangtan. Like, it's just whatever. But, like, Jimin's like, Bangtan. It's so high-pitched and cute. So cute. Also, Jungkook looks really, really cute in this. Like, his hair is, like, super curly, and he's got this fanny pack on that is just so cute. But, I mean, we get to see, like, really sexy Jungkook a lot during this era. Mm-hmm. And to see him in Ampa, man, like, he is still the cute little bunny that he is. Like, he looks so adorable in this.
Yeah, but while Jungkook is being a little bunny, Namjoon is being a total fucking daddy. Like, I don't know. He has a bandana around his neck, and he's wearing an orange jumpsuit. Like, I don't, like, almost like a sanitation worker might be wearing. Like, in this, what makes this comeback stage cool is that they're all kind of supposed to be wearing outfits of, like, common people who work just, like, regular jobs, like what all of us would do. So, like, in really any industry that isn't, like, a Fortune 500 company. So he's wearing, like, this orange jumpsuit, and his fucking thighs, you know, I'm a thighs person. That is my kink. And I don't even get to see any of the muscles, but I cannot, like, he is bias wrecking me so much because they look huge.
Yeah. Like, he looks big. Like, he's working out. Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I also love the part where J-Hope comes up to the front and he says, I'm a new generation Ampa man. And he's got his, like, knees bent and his legs are spread far apart. And then he's, like, wiggling his knees in and out with his arms out to the side like an airplane. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, leaning side to side. Like, that is J-Hope's move in this song. Like, he owns that move. Like, no one could do that like he does that.
No.
You can tell he loves it.
You can tell
he loves
it. I just
love J-Hope so much.
Me too.
J-Hope!
Oh, Hobie.
Why are they all so amazing?
Why are they so amazing?
Oh, goodness.
Really, I feel like we're having all these feels because this song and this performance is just so them.
It really is. Like, they're just Bangtan. Like, this is just so great to see them, like, just let loose.
Yes.
Also, at the bridge, when Jungkook, like, I love this bridge. Jungkook sounds so good. But then you've got Yoongi and Jin in the back. Like, they need credit. They are slaying the
background dancing. When, like, have you seen Yoongi and Jin being the background dancers?
Yeah.
When have you seen it before
never.
Now?
But it's so amazing because, honestly, Jin looks amazing. Like, Jin
so
is
fluid.
Doing such a good job. I mean, I would have never thought that he would have been considered, like, a bad dancer. But he's got such long legs, so it, like, looks even cooler because they do this kind of, like, hopping side to side, and, man, Jin owns that move. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's not even in the front, but you look right at him.
Basically, they're all so cute during this performance.
Yeah.
They're totally in their element. They're owning it. And it's just so, so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Which just, I think that's what makes it, like, our favorite one.
They're just so cute. You can't not love this performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the song.
So obviously the last comeback stage performance is Fake Love. So we already kind of talked about like our reaction to Fake Love choreography with their
Billboard Music
BBMAs
Award.
Yeah, mm-hmm. performance. But the Mnet performance for Fake Love is our favorite, mainly because of the set and the ending.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I feel like we've seen the Fake Love performance a lot.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the music video in another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this set is like, it's spooky, it's haunting. It's like a mm-hmm. haunted house, really.
Yeah.
It's a really, really cool set. This is the first time we get to see them in like those hoods.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens at the end. And so I think everyone's just really confused by it. And then
like, what is happening?
Yeah. And then they end up releasing the extended music video later on, and it kind of makes a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what threw people off.
Yeah.
Also, Taeyang is wearing a lip ring.
So, I think I mentioned the extended music video earlier with the rock cover, but we didn't get that until after this performance. So at the end of this performance, when we get to see their masks and like all of them put their hood up, we saw this together. We were like, what the fuck?
What the hell is going on? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's that. I mean, we're going to get way more into Fake Love when we actually do an episode on it.
Yeah.
But the Mnet performance is, we think, the best one just because of the set and the ending.
Yeah.
So we're kind of wrapping up this timeline, kind of wrapping up this episode. But I just want to say a few other things that happened since then. So this is kind of out of order at this point, but Fake Love, the original music video, exceeded 1 billion views on YouTube mm-hmm. by the 27th of May. On that same day, the dance practice was also posted. So we got to see that full dance practice choreography. And there's already a ton of like things you didn't notice videos on YouTube for that.
Namjoon's legs.
Namjoon's fucking legs during that dance practice. Ugh. I am forever bias wrecked. And then the other thing that happened very recently is that Fake Love, the song, debuted at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, which is just as big as a fucking deal as their album being number one in the world. Like, that they had a single debut at number 10 is insane. And my mom texted me earlier and she was like, I heard BTS on the radio yesterday, and then today I saw them in an interview on TV.
Uh-huh. I love getting messages from friends and family like, hey, I saw BTS here. Oh, I heard BTS on the radio. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Like, this is what I'm trying to push onto all of you. Like, they're a big fucking deal.
Yeah, I'm not obsessed and having a podcast about them for no reason. Like, they're a big fucking deal. I just need everyone to know it.
Yes.
Yeah. So the other thing that happened to kind of wrap up comeback, RM always does this. He did his solo V Live where he takes about an hour to talk about the album. He did address the mysterious 12th track thing because he tweeted this thing on Twitter at one point that said track 5 out of 12 for Love Yourself Tier, but Love Yourself Tier only has 11 tracks. So everybody was like, what the fuck? What's the 12th track?
Yeah, where's the hidden track?
Yeah, we thought it was a hidden track. He actually said in the V Live that it was a collaboration with another artist, but there was like scheduling issues while they were producing it, so it couldn't be finished in time. So he was like, we'll probably put it out later.
Yeah.
But if you have not watched his V Live, go do it. It will just give you so much insight on the album. I think that we understood a lot of the album's intentions on our own, and that comes through in our review episode. But obviously, RM being in the thick of it with writing lyrics and producing and working mm-hmm. with all these other people on it, he had a lot of deeper takes and alternative perspectives and just like nuggets of information that there's no way of knowing unless you watch it.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's
definitely
something.
Definitely watch it.
Yeah, for sure. That's something that he does with every comeback. So it's kind mm-hmm. of still a part of comeback. Back because we expect it.
Yeah. And there's cute appearances from other members too. So
Yeah.
It's always fun to look forward to.
For sure. So that's basically our comeback timeline up to this point. I feel like personally, based off of history, comeback still isn't over. We still have things that we're expecting to be released that haven't yet been announced or released. Like, we're still waiting on the video where BTS watches the Fake Love music video together for the first time.
Mm-hmm. Like, we know that they'll do that. Mm-hmm.
Right, for sure. And then we're possibly waiting for another music video. Hitman Bang and like Jin had that interaction on Twitter where he said that he stayed in Korea during the BBMAs to edit another music video. So potentially that could have been the Fake Love extended version. But because last era we had the intro, the hit track music video, and then Mic Drop, we're kind of thinking that maybe Airplane Part 2 or maybe Magic Shop or something will maybe get a video for one of those.
Yeah. I don't really know what it's going to be. I really, in my gut, was like, okay, Airplane Part 2, no question. Like, that's clearly going to be the song that's going to get a music video just based on, like, Love Yourself, Her, mm-hmm. and what we kind of witnessed for our first comeback. But you never know. It's yeah. big hit.
We know nothing until they tell us, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, that is pretty much the comeback timeline up to this point. Hopefully that helped you kind of mentally organize and figure out all that happened, because it was a lot over the past couple months. Just, I mean, if you got off Twitter for an hour,
it's not even been the past couple months, like really just since like April, I guess. Oh my God. I guess, yeah.
It's literally been a month and a half or something.
Yeah.
It's been super, super busy in the BTS world. It's been hard for us to try to keep track mm-hmm. and keep up and like try to get you guys all the episodes and things that we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this kind of sums up a lot of what we've missed over the past month. Yeah.
And with how overwhelmed we have felt, I really hope that BTS is resting well and eating yes. well and taking care of themselves, because if this is how much, like, if we're overwhelmed with all of this, imagine how hard they're working right now for this mm-hmm. comeback.
Oh. So thanks, BTS.
Thank you, BTS.
And thank you guys for listening and for being with us here this week. We have our bonus 100 review episode, 100 iTunes review episode for Taekook coming out tomorrow.
It's going to be really, really good, guys. Like, it's going to be so fucking good. You've got to listen to it. Like, we recorded it and it's so, so good.
Yeah. So if you have not and you would like to, we would love if you would go over to iTunes and do another review for us or review us for the first time, whatever. That's what I meant.
Anyways, do it again. But don't let me.
No, you can't do it again. Don't cheat. So anyways, if you liked this episode and you like other episodes, you can review us on iTunes. You can email us at standingbtspodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us and talk to us, interact with us on Twitter at standingbtspod. You can like our Facebook page, standingbts. And you can follow our pre-existing fangirl Instagram account at sugarfreecookiejams. And you can find links for all of that in the description.
In the description. Thanks for listening and thanks for stanning BTS.